My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. We all have a story. It is composed of the memories of our experiences that we've had from childhood on. The story may be crystal clear or distorted by misperceptions, strong emotions, and programming that these events and experiences triggered. This distortion may have a long-lasting and profound effect in how we live our lives and deny our ability to see through the fractured glass to the truth and happiness that is our birthright. Is there a way that we may rewrite our stories, resulting in happy endings? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Renee Damoiselle, says we can through what she calls storytelling alchemy. Renee hosts the Witchin World Meetup in Phoenix, open to all who are interested in ritual, metaphysics, paganism, magic, and diverse spiritual practices. Events include open discussions, ritual circles, and empowering workshops. Renee also hosts personal development and spiritual retreats, such as Goddess Divine and the Storytelling Alchemy Retreat, held in beautiful destinations such as Sedona and the New England countryside. Her website is reneedamoiselle.com, and she joins me this week to discuss her book, Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Renee Damoiselle. Renee, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Victor.
And thank you so much for joining us, because the material that you present in your book is something that I think all of us need to read and learn from and be able to write our own happy ending. So please share about your early life and how it led to your path.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in a not so great family, and there was plenty of trauma to go around, and I don't think that's unique. I think we all have things that have occurred in our childhood and our lives that are difficult to get past. I found the practice of meditation in my 20s, and it led down that beautiful wormhole to connection to deity and the spiritual practice that's been very gratifying for me. And I have discovered magic. I have discovered this connection through meditation and journaling and writing. I've always loved to write stories. And at some point along the line, I realized that my stories were a way for me to work out some of the things that were challenging to me. So eventually I started to realize there really was a system to this, that I really was using it in a way that was empowering me and helping me get past things that were blocking me. And then I added sort of ritual to it, and I ritualized the practice, and that ended up being a class that I was teaching for a while at my Witch in the World cottage, and also at a nonprofit here in Phoenix that's for women's empowerment. And everybody kept asking me, well, where's the book? Right? Where's the book? We need the book. So I wrote the book.
There you go. Now, you studied comparative religion, mythology, mm-hmm. and psychology. How did these studies promote your healing?
Oh, well, I love calling them rabbit holes, because you discover one thing and then you completely immerse yourself in it and it leads to something else. I found in my beginning meditation practice that I wanted to know more about varying spiritual practices and religious beliefs and all of that. And I dove into the philosophies of India and the practices of Buddhism and the practices of paganism. And it's one thing led to another. And every single one of these practices helped me in some way, helped me connect more to my inner divine. And really, that's what we're all meant to do, is to, you know, we're here on this planet in this 3D reality, and we are meant to take the divine that is within us and anchor it in this reality to share with others. And you can't do that if you're blocked by feeling sorry for yourself or feeling that you have disadvantages because of your past trauma. And this is why I think it really helped me to bring my light into the world and allow myself to share that with others. And I think that's really a responsibility. If you've come through something difficult, you have a responsibility to those still going through it to help them out.
Absolutely. Isn't that something that we should actually teach in our schools, that whatever you've been through in life is a lesson that you need to share with others so that they can benefit from what you went through and learn from whatever your trials and tribulations were? Isn't that something that should be in the curriculum of all our schools? Oh,
I really wish. That is a dream of mine. It would be wonderful.
Now, your path led you to magic with a K. How do you define magic?
I believe that, I don't really believe in what people call the supernatural. I think there only is natural but possibly undiscovered stuff happening, right? It's all quote unquote real. It all exists. And to me, magic is, there's a current of energy that exists all over the universe. It is the universe. And in some cases, it's more solid matter, and in some cases, it's more ephemeral stuff, right? But I believe that we as conscious beings have the ability to manipulate that energy in a way that flows in a direction that we desire. It takes practice, it takes focus, it takes training. But it's doable, and you can start with little ways of magic, and meditation is one of them, is one of the ways you can focus your mind so that your thoughts are powerful enough to influence this energy that's around you to help you manifest what you want in your life.
Now, we hear the term magical thinking. What is magical thinking?
Well, I think the psychological definition of that, it kind of belittles it in a way where it says magical thinking is just this way that you have that, you're wishing for something. You're just, you're dreaming of unicorns and rainbows and fairies and those kinds of things. To me, magical thinking is a discipline, because I try to focus my thoughts so that they are in line with my desires as much as possible. We all have that kind of monkey brain thing going on, but I am working all the time to try and focus my thoughts so that they're in alignment with what my desires and wishes are for manifestation in my life. So to me, that's what magical thinking is.
So really, it's a combination of having the thought and then taking the action through intention of energy or whatever method you're going to use to manifest it into reality.
Yes. And I think that everything counts. Like, so your thoughts count, your words count, what you're doing counts. I always, the typical example is if you're going to perform magic, a magic spell, for example, around getting that job that you want. That's great. You can find all the right correspondences in herbs and candle colors and crystals, and you can write the most amazing chant or incantation, but you very well better have a great resume and be looking for the job in your field and be networking to make it happen. So you have to do the footwork, the earthly mundane stuff as well create the channel for that energy to flow through.
There's an old story about a very pious man who had a wife who was very ill and required a very expensive operation, and he didn't have any money, and he went to his place of worship, and he got down before the altar, and he said, "Please, please, please, let me win the lottery." And a week went by, and nothing happened. And the next week, he went back, and he repeated the process. He says, "I don't understand. I've been pious, and I've been faithful. Please let me win the lottery so my wife can have this operation. This is not about me or my personal gain. I need the money for my wife to have her surgery." a week goes by and nothing else happened. And this time he goes back and he rips his clothes and he starts crying and wailing. And he said, I don't understand. I've always been faithful. I've always been pious. Why can't I win the lottery? And the voice comes down and says, you have to buy the ticket first.
Yeah, please buy the ticket.
And that's it. We all have to buy the ticket. So all of the magical thinking and the preparation and the visualization, we still have to activate it into the world.
Absolutely. And I like the it's a flow of energy. So you have to build the channel or the riverbed that it can flow through in order to make the thing happen.
Absolutely. Is magic something that you believe science will eventually connect to natural law?
I don't know the answer to that. It might. I think it's quite a while away if it is. And there's a part of me that wishes for it desperately. And then there's another part of me that says, no, no, I don't want them to discover this. I like that it's sort of esoteric and hidden.
Yeah, it gives a little more romance to it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Renee Damoiselle. She's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. And we'll be back with more of Renee after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Renee Damoiselle. She's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. Renee, you share that each of us has had two paths that we can follow, the mundane and the magical. How may the mundane or worldly lead us to the magical?
Well, I guess it did with my own personal story. If you are, that's a hard question. The mundane is just, so the 3D world, everything that you do in your life, your actions, the things you do for money, the things you do for your family, just all of that stuff. And to me, when you're going, in my experience, the mundane world has these things that I call synchronicities. Some people may call them simply coincidence. But these are coincidences that have meaning. And so when you find meaning in the coincidences that occur in your life, I believe that's your segue into magic. That's the portal into understanding or beginning to care about or even use magic. I also believe that there's another portal towards it, and this is really about connection to the divine, which is really where magic is. In any moment where in your mundane life you are sort of lifted out of it by a vision of beauty, by some beautiful words, by an encounter with another person that brings about a feeling of love, those things lift us out of our mundane world and put us in a realm where magic is really there, is really existing. And so at any moment, if you're willing to experience it, you can. It just, someone has to be open to it in order to see it and experience it.
Do you have an encounter of that nature you can share with us?
So I was living in New York and working a job that I really did not like and was kind of bleeding me dry. Wasn't paying enough. I was struggling. And so was my boyfriend at the time. And he lost his job and I was hating mine even worse. And he said, "Hey, you want to move to Arizona?" And 3 months later, we were on a truck. And we basically spent every penny of our savings to come out here. And we had sort of broadcast as far as getting jobs ahead. We'd, you know, like get on Indeed and find your day job kind of a thing. And we were doing that, but neither of us had a job when we were ready to leave. And the Friday that we were packing the truck to make the big trip across country, I got a phone call from a recruiter saying, "Are you in Phoenix yet?" And I said, "I will be Monday." And she said, "Okay, I might have something for you. We'll do the interview." We arrived in Phoenix on Sunday. I had an interview on Tuesday with the recruiter and then an interview on Wednesday with the job itself. And I had the job that night. And it pays almost twice what I was making in New York, and it was within walking distance of the apartment that we that we had procured.
And that just goes to show that when you are willing to make that break and have the intention and have the energy flowing, that the synchronicity will return to you and give you what you need to move on in your life. And that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. That's very inspiring. Yeah.
Well, and it definitely made me understand that it was meant to be, that I made the right choice. And I still have the same job and I love it. And I still live close. And it's because of that job that I'm able to hold Witch in the World meetups and rituals and things like that. So I'm very grateful.
I can share one between us right away. When I first found you and then you you friended me on Facebook, I noticed that you were friends with a woman that my wife grew up with and is still friends with today. We're talking about Roxanne Bambi Torrey. And it turns out that you and she are very good friends. And she used to attend your trainings up in New York.
Yes, absolutely. She has been, I had this little, I ran a little spiritual center out of my home on a mountain in upstate New York called Odyssey Ridge. And she used to come to those and we became very close friends. And I know that she loves Sedona too. And we've been trying to reconnect since I moved away from New York. And now here's another little synchronicity. She now lives in the same town where my grandson lives. So I'll be visiting her in March, as a matter of fact. But yeah, things like that, when you know that the connection is meant to be, that sort of thing. You know, there's the classic Jungian example of a synchronicity is Jung was treating a woman who would come to him for psychotherapy, and he would help her interpret her dreams. And she came in one day all excited about this amazing, very meaningful and dream that she had that made her feel wonderful. And she shared that in the dream, a golden scarab beetle came and landed on her arm. And as she was speaking the words, the window of the office where they were sitting was open, and a beetle of about as close as you could get to a scarab beetle in the location where they were flew in through the window and landed on her arm.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, somebody could say that is just a coincidence, but because it has so much meaning, she was sharing about something that had very deep meaning for her. And then this synchronous event happened, kind of giving her the feeling of, yeah, this does mean something, that this is, you know, something I need to pay attention to at the very least, or maybe confirming that feeling she had that she should feel wonderful.
Absolutely. As we discussed before we started this interview, I have lived my life based on synchronicity. And many years ago, a book came out by James Redfield, I'm sure you're familiar with, called The Celestine Prophecy. Uh-huh. And he told a story in an adventure format of someone who was meeting a series of people who were giving him messages. And these messages led to further insights. And he had the choice each time to either accept the message and move on in the discovery process, or let it go and walk away. And the synchronicity was that every time he accepted the message, it led him to the next level, the next insight, the next teacher, the next message that he had to hear on that path. And I think that happens, honestly, for all of us if we recognize it, accept the message, and then move on rather than letting it go and disregarding it.
Yeah, absolutely. The Alchemist is another, Paulo Coelho, there's another one that's similar to that, where you need to use your intuition and trust your gut to say, this is the next right thing, and I believe in this sign that I was given. I'm actually going to be holding a really cool event with my Witch in the World group. We're going to go up to Sedona and do a synchronicity walk. We have no plan. We gather in a particular area and then we walk, and whenever somebody sees something that they think is a sign, they'll tell us all and we follow that. And we're just going to go for a couple of hours and see what happens. And I'm just so excited about it.
I'm going to say that you couldn't have picked a better place to do that than Sedona, because Sedona is magic. That's Magic City as far as I'm concerned.
No doubt about that, yes.
Now, as we've discussed, the magical process is thought manifest through intention. How can we use this process to start finding the truth of our stories?
Well, in the book I talk, it's really a very simply laid out system where we are using meditation, journaling, altar keeping, offerings, dream journaling recalling dreams and interpreting dreams, and all of these things kind of come together in a way that helps us to look at some of those difficult events from our past. Remembering them and replaying them in our mind can have a negative effect sometimes, because it's almost like we're reliving the tragedy or the trauma. But the book tries to give you a little bit of distance from it and put a buffer between you and the memory, as difficult as it may be, so that it can be reframed in a way that is more empowering. I tend to use the medium of fairy tales. Take your story and plug it into a fairy tale, not necessarily an existing one, but create one that has magic in it, that has a helper like a fairy godparent, and things like that, where you can kind of twist the outcome a little bit. It gives perspective, it helps understanding, and then it comes to, I'm the hero of this story and I create my ending. And that's how the empowerment that I want my readers to feel.
You refer to these techniques as the seven essential tools in storytelling alchemy. Let's take one or two of these and give our listeners an example of how you use them.
So the first and most important tool, I think, is called the story you tell yourself. I've made it a defined term in the book, and I refer it to it as SYTY. And I want it to be a defined term like that, because we all have to realize that, you know, we all have stories. We have a million stories of our lives. There's the story of your life, which is that giant epic story, right? Or there is the story of my college years, or my 18th birthday, or that day I went to the store. It can be anything. And some of the stories are funny, and some of them are sort of neutral, and some of them are tragic and difficult. But it's how we perceive those stories that matters more than the facts of the story itself. And we will find, as we, you know, as you go through the book, you get some insights to looking at the story in ways that can prove that maybe the way you've been thinking of it isn't exactly, you know, the only story. There are always three sides to the story, right? His side, her side, and the truth. And so I encourage my readers to think of all of their stories as quote unquote stories. It gives them a little bit less, gut punch, you know, so that it doesn't feel like we're looking at this tragic part of your life, let's look at it like a story. Let's see it like a story and look at it from all the different angles, from the motivations of all the characters and things like that. So the story you tell yourself is the first and most important tool, in my opinion.
So the story you tell yourself, in essence, is looking at it from the standpoint of the truth?
And yes, attempting to. I'm not sure we can even approach that, really, but it's the attempt to at least give it that perspective and get a little distance from it so that you can open up the truths within it.
I have a distinct memory in my story of having an experience with a bully when I was about 11 years old. And I distinctly remember trying to avoid the confrontation and winding up on the ground in a bit of pain. How would I look at that story and put another spin on it?
Well, so the practice asks you to go into a meditative state, nice, calm, you're in a safe, comfortable environment. You go into this meditative state and you view it as though it's a movie. And you're not the person, the victim, right? You're just viewing it as though it's a movie. And you might gain different perspective that way. And there's a few other techniques that I use to allow you to get sort of a little more distance and a little a wider perspective on what the story might mean and how it really played out.
And we'll pick up on some of those after the break. My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Renee Damoiseau. She's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. Renee, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you and your work.
Oh, well, ReneeDamoiseau.com is my website, and the book is available right on the front page there. And you can ask that it be signed. I'm happy to do that for anyone. And there's a lot of information there, too, about me. You can also friend me on Facebook. I'm the only Renee Damoiseau on Facebook. Very happy to be able to say that. So far, anyway.
And we'll be back with more of the only Renee Damoiseau on Facebook and Storytelling Alchemy after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Renee Damoiseau. She's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. So before the break, we were talking about the seven essential tools, and we're talking about looking at the story from a different aspect. Give us an example of another tool that you would recommend or that you recommend in your book.
So meditation, as I just mentioned, that is definitely probably the second most important one. What I encourage my readers to do is create a sacred space within their home if they haven't done so previously. And it's meant to make the practice more enjoyable because, you know, we don't do anything we don't want to do ultimately. So the keeping of a sacred space is one of the tools along with meditation. And the idea is to make it nice and tidy and to make it beautiful, to bring in objects that are pleasing to the practitioner, and to keep that space sacred. And so that every time you come in, and I try to involve all the senses, every time you come into that space, you should be in love with the visuals of it. There should be a lovely scent in the air. Maybe you use a candle or an incense. There should be, it should feel comfortable and comforting. So I suggest, you know, if you're the type of person who likes air moving around, have a fan. Or if you're the type of person who wants stillness, make sure that it is that way. If you like to have a sound, bring in a little fountain or a wind chime or something along those lines, or play a beautiful meditative music. I want to bring in all of the senses. For one reason, it brings you completely present into the moment when you do that. And it also, as I said, it adds to the pleasure of the practice. Let's make it nice and comfortable and enjoyable for ourselves while we're looking at these difficult and painful memories, to make it a little bit softer and to understand that while you're in meditation, you may be recalling these, reviewing, not reliving these events, but knowing that you are in this safe and beautiful and comfortable space in reality, because I don't want people to actually have to go through the pain again. That's detrimental to the practice.
Do you recommend cleansing energetically or using sage to cleanse or some other method of cleansing the area before and after each session?
Well, I do that. I use sage, and I think it's suggested in the book, that kind of thing. The one thing I do say is that when you're creating your sacred space, make sure that you do a thorough cleanse and keep it, keep it neat and tidy that way. different people have different understandings, excuse me, of, you know, the cleanliness of their space. So I don't push that too hard, but I do. I try to keep my sacred space clean, and I do use sage before every meditation or ritual session.
And if for any reason someone can't use sage or burn incense because of the some type of sensitivity to that, they can also energetically cleanse.
Absolutely. I believe that we don't really need any tools to do any magic. We can just use our visualization and our energy and all of that. So they can definitely do that. There's also, you know, you can use an infuser or something like that for essential oils. There's plenty of ways to do it. You can even just get a fan and wave the air around or ring a bell. Sometimes ringing a bell just sort of clears the air of any stagnant energy.
Absolutely. Now, in storytelling alchemy, you liken our stories to spells. How so?
Everybody's story is a spell because every moment of your life is creating the next moments of your life. So we're creating all of the time. Every single person on the planet, I believe, is using that magical energy that I spoke about in the beginning of the interview. But if they're using it without their own consciousness of using it, then they might be creating things that are not favorable for themselves. They might be, you know, there's the law of attraction example of it, the more you think about debt, the more debt you incur. It's something like that. It goes a little bit deeper. But yeah, we are all creating all the time. So your whole life is a spell that is moving you forward to the next part and manifests as you go. So the story that you want to change, you know, is the one that's the most difficult. Like you want to go back there and get at the most tragic, horrible thing, because those are the things that hold us back. Those are the ones that implant false and deeply held beliefs in our psyche. And when we have false, deeply held beliefs, they hold us back. They are a detriment to our lives in some way.
And what rituals may we use in these spells?
The rituals that I talk about in the book are, first of all, coming into your sacred space, understanding that you've now kind of put yourself in a different zone, so to speak. You're now in your sacred space. You breathe. I give a ritual where you're instructed to simply become present through the senses. You listen to the sounds around you. You look at the beauty of the space. You breathe in the scent that you've set for yourself. You feel the comfort of your chair, feel the air movement of air against your skin, and become very present. And I also include a practice of making offerings. And so I encourage setting up an altar and making some sort of an offering. When I write, I have this symbol of my personal genius. Her name is Alvarita, and she is a Native American storyteller figurine. And so she sits on my altar, and whenever I'm about to sit down and write, I bring her a fresh bowl of water. It doesn't have to be an elaborate offering, so a fresh bowl of water is perfect. And I just bring that to her, and I say, you know, here's what I offer to you. Can you please flow into my brain and let me write something good?
And water as a concept of number one, of cleansing, and number two, of flowing, of that constant flow, that ebb and flow that we go through in life. That's a wonderful concept.
Yeah, and it's life-giving. So there's no entity that you can make an offering to that wouldn't appreciate a fresh cup of water.
Absolutely. The word alchemy implies the transmutation of lead into gold, the gray and the dull into the shiny and beautiful. How does forgiveness help in this process?
Oh, very, very powerful forgiveness. So this is part of what can happen when you change your story into a fairy tale or change your story into your own personal work of art, that it has a more empowering perspective and a better ending, right, than it might have had, is that you gain a perspective regarding the motivations and the weaknesses and the difficulties of every character in the story. And this kind of builds compassion. It builds a little bit of understanding. And then you might find your way to forgiving even those who've really, really harmed you. This practice has led me to that. I have forgiveness for the characters of my childhood who caused me great harm, because I know that they were acting in the best way that they knew how at the time, and that they had issues beyond my understanding when I was a child, right? So when you forgive, everything changes. You're no longer, letting space rent free in your head to those who have harmed you.
I love that expression.
Right? I mean, why do that? It harms no one but yourself to hold a grudge or to feel or to, replay the anger and the hatred or the, whatever negative feelings you have. It doesn't do you any good to replay that. When you're free of it, then you can really move forward and change the way things are for you now. Because really, there's only now. The past, when you look at it in a certain way, the past and the future aren't even real. They can't be, because the past is just a memory and the future is just a hope or a worry, possibly even worse. The only thing that really exists is now. So if you can change your now, then that you can forgive everything from the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Storytelling is as old as human civilization. And you point out in Storytelling Alchemy that it's a genetic trait of humans. How has storytelling contributed to human development?
Well, so the example that I use is, and I say it's a genetic, I don't know that that's been actually proven by scientists who are wiser than I, but I believe that it could be a genetic characteristic in the way that, for example, when we were hunter-gatherers, before there was anything we would really call civilization, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of years ago, there must have been a form of communication. And at some point, the communication led to someone explaining to someone else that they saw an animal go by this way. And look, here are the tracks of that animal. And because I've looked at these tracks and I know which direction it's going, and I know that I've seen it in this particular spot when the sun is there in the sky, I might be able to catch the animal if I go there. And over time, that had to be helpful. And that's a story. That's the ability to tell a story. And so that is, and if you catch more animals, you survive in greater numbers. And that's what genetic characteristic is. Mm. It's a something that we use to survive in greater numbers. So that would have been an example of one of the first stories.
So storytelling as an human adaptation for survival.
Yeah, absolutely.
My guest is Renee Damosel. She's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. We'll be back with more of Renee after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
My savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week is Renee Damosel. She's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. Renee, the concept that ideas, once considered fictional and magical, have over time materialized and become part of scientific reality is witnessed in virtually every area of human technology. Do you think that the story evolved into the physical reality, or that the reality was already there waiting for the technology to catch up? In other words, which came first?
That's actually one of the questions I raise in the book, specifically that. I don't know the answer to that question, and I'm kind of happy to muse about it. I guess really I think that the magic, or the, you know, whatever it is, the magic, let's call it that, that exists, and that possibly science will catch up someday. Right now, we don't have the tools to measure and quantify. And also, the scientific community is a little bit strapped in by the beliefs that it has. that they have a tendency to dismiss anything that isn't quantifiable and measurable. And I don't think that's a good scientific way to think, because, you know, if you took a flashlight, this is an example in the book, if you took a flashlight back 1,000 years and turned it on, you'd be worshipped as a god. Mm-hmm. But it's commonplace now. We know what it is. We know how those connections work. So it's not, I don't know. It's not something that I don't necessarily think it needs to be discovered. I already know how to wield it. So,
well, what's fascinating to me is that 100-year-old science fiction became reality in the late 60s. Yeah. You take the book about going to the moon 100 years ago, or 125 years ago, 140 years ago. And, you know, science fiction, never going to happen. People think it's crazy. And yet the technology eventually evolves that in 1969, we put people on the moon.
Right, exactly. I think, you know, and that's kind of part of magic too. Like that's the thought has to happen first.
Right.
And that's why thoughts are so powerful, that we can manifest things into reality. We can make things happen through the first and foremost, the thought, and then the desire, and then the putting things into place. I think that all of that kind of translates well into the whole magical philosophy of things.
Absolutely. You call fairy tales the philosopher's stone of storytelling. Why?
Well, so the philosopher's stone is an alchemy terminology, and the philosopher's stone in alchemy is that stone that is the it's a substance that can give healing and eternal life, and can magically transform lead into gold. And the reason I use fairy tales is because I feel they're so conducive to allowing magic to enter your story itself, and allowing some room to change things, to make things different. So if you had a difficult time, perhaps in your fairy tale that you write during your storytelling alchemy practice, perhaps there is a fairy godmother who comes to help you out that wasn't there when you were harmed. For example, I worked with one woman who was abused as a child and did not have a mother figure that was caring and loving to her. So I encouraged her to find a loving, beautiful fairy godmother that she would have loved to have as a child, and allow that fairy godmother to now give that child the love that it deserved and wanted and desired and needed, and thereby changing the way the poor child comes through the story. So there's things like magic beanstalks, and there's things like, you know, there's the villain, and there's every kind of archetype you can think of, and you can fit your story into the fairy tale format, no matter how dark it is, because most fairy tales are much darker than most of us are led to believe. So I find it to be a fitting transformation tool for changing something that's really tragic and difficult and horrible into something that's beautiful and empowering.
Why, Grandma, what great big teeth you have.
Exactly right.
You talk a lot about dream interpretation in storytelling alchemy. Is dream interpretation universal, personal, or a combination of these? And how can we intuit which meaning applies to our story?
I believe it's absolutely personal. I had the experience when I first started out, this is many, many years ago, when I first sort of found the magical path and started studying and paganism and witchcraft and that sort of thing, and reading about dream interpretation. I had one of those books that gives you, you know, an eagle means this, and, you know, whatever it is, a cat means this, books, one of those definition books. And I had read that a turtle is a symbol of, it's the world carrying turtle. So it's a benevolent symbol, and it's a very good thing in a dream. And I was speaking to someone and trying to help her interpret a dream she had where there was a turtle. But when she was 5 years old, she was swimming in a lake and a snapping turtle took her toe.
Oh.
So a turtle had a very, very distant meaning from what the book said to her. It was not a benevolent thing. It was a frightening thing. And so it's very personal. The way I talk about dream interpretation in the book is really to try to break the components of the dream down into separate things. So my favorite example is from one of my, I dream about train stations frequently. And so you break things down, like the setting, the characters, and the things that happen. And so you break them down into their separate parts. So a train station is a place of comings and goings. It's a lively, kind of always moving place. Myself in it, in my dream, I was a tarot reader, which I also am in real life, but I was reading tarot, and I kind of like, what are the connotations of that for me? Why, how does that make me feel? So each thing you have to kind of say, whatever this thing is in the dream, it's a part of me. And so what part of me does it represent, and how does it make me feel, and what meaning could it have for my life? And I think that those, you know, those books that I used in the past are pretty much useless, because everybody has their, through their experiences, has an idea of what the symbols in their dreams might mean.
You offer some Witchin 101 in storytelling alchemy. These include sigils and mojo bags and spell casting. How can we use these in the transmutation of our story?
I teach about sigils, especially because I think they're a wonderful way of creating something that's very personal and very specific to your own desire. A lot of spells use things like crystals and talismans and stones and things like that that you are acquiring from outside of yourself. But a sigil is a symbol which means something, which has like a concept, it represents a larger concept. And so I teach about drawing your own symbol that represents what your desired outcome is, and using that in a mojo bag. So I kind of combine the two. A mojo bag is, so this is a magical tool that many practitioners use that does incorporate things like a sigil or stones, herbs, scents, things like that, that has representative meaning towards the thing that you desire. So if you are looking to create abundance for yourself, for example, you want to create a richness for yourself, you might put something like citrine, which has a golden hue, which represents prosperity, in there. And then we combine all of these earthly items, which is the idea is we're taking our thoughts and our intentions and our energy, and we are putting them in these items that are already of the mundane world. And that is making the connection between the ethereal and the 3D mundane, so that we can bring our intentions into this reality. And so that's the kind of practice I talk about in the book, of creating that sort of magic.
What would you like readers to take away from Storytelling Alchemy?
Oh, the biggest takeaway I want everyone to have is more empowerment, you know, the liberation of their soul from some difficult or limiting belief that they have. I still use it. This is not a one-time thing. You don't take your whole life story and go through it in one shot. You can take all different little stories from your life and go through it. I still use it for myself. When I discover that I have a limiting belief or that I'm stuck in some way, I go to this practice and I try to discover what is it that, you know, where did I acquire this belief? What story from my life can I change in order to heal it?
Absolutely. What's next in your story?
Oh, so many things. I have, as you mentioned in the beginning, I hold retreats occasionally when I can. They take a tremendous amount of energy, and they're very personal and very small. So I have a Goddess Divine retreat coming up in March of 2020, and I'm taking applications for it now on my page, reneedamoiselle.com. There's a page for the retreat. And I'm taking only 12 women to an amazing, beautiful estate property in Sedona, Arizona, right on Oak Creek. And we'll have our own private little oasis of beauty there. And we'll spend the weekend realizing the divine within and making friends with our inner goddess.
Can't you do that for guys too? Come on, give us guys a break.
I'm going to find someone who's going to do that for men, and I think it should be a man, because you have to have that understanding.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My guest, Renee Damoiselle, she's the author of Storytelling Alchemy, Write Your Own Happy Ending. Renee, one more time, please tell our listeners where they can get your book and find out more about you.
The best place is my website, reneedamoiselle.com. You could also friend me on Facebook. I'm the only Renee Damoiselle on Facebook. So, and join my Witch in the World group if you'd like. Sign up for that and I'll let you in and we'll talk about things. I have a weekly Facebook live that I do. So I'm always on there talking about something.
Renee, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.